You're listening to Truth To You with Jono, and you can download these and other programs freely from the website at truthtoyou.org. That's truth, number two, letteryou.org. And today I'm speaking with naturopath Stephen Tamplin. He's actually my local naturopath, and he runs Central West Naturopathic. My friend, thank you for joining us on Truth To You.
You're welcome. It's a pleasure to be here.
It's a pleasure to have you, because today's day and age, oh my goodness, there is a lot of missing knowledge that people used to have in regards to health and how to treat illnesses and the options that people have as far as how to maintain that level of vitality and healing properties about the body and so on and so forth. There's so much that we don't know. And you are the man to ask. And what I wanted to do, if it's okay, before we do anything, is if you would be so kind, would you just define for the listeners what naturopathy is?
Well, naturopathy is the looking, I guess, more for the cause of disease or treatment of the cause rather than just the placebo or band-aiding of symptoms. So that a person comes in, you can have nine people all in the same room with a headache. Panadol might suit one person, but there are other things that may be causing. Someone could have a low blood sugar. Someone could have had a perfume allergy. Someone could be alcohol overloaded. Mm-hmm. So there's other causes that might have caused the headache. So what we do in naturopathy is we look for the cause behind the symptoms and aim it there and try to deal with it using as much as possible natural means. Now, natural means using herbs, vitamins, minerals, dietary change, lifestyle adjustment, rather than going down the pharmacological pathway.
Now, you've mentioned the
pharmacological. That's all the medications.
Pharmacological. So we're talking about pharmacies, we're talking about chemists, we're talking about generally what we're prescribed when we speak to most doctors today.
Naturopathy is not pharmacology. It uses a different form of process to evoke response within the body. By virtue of pure science, pharmacology is a science in its own right, mm-hmm. and they have used extracts of plants, animals, other things, and what they've done is they've then found how to synthetically manufacture those components, mm-hmm. but in so doing, there's an alteration from the reality where you can take a particular blood pressure medication, which is commonly prescribed, which is a very potent and dangerous thing in its own right if you have too much of it. But the plant it comes from, you can eat to your heart's content in your salads.
Right.
And it causes you no problem because it's got all the balancing factors to manage any excesses of any one ingredient. Uh-huh. So there are 16 components in that plant, of which one has a blood pressure effect. By extracting that one without the cofactors, you're actually creating a toxic product.
Right. And so really it comes down to, as is suggested in the title, naturopathic. It's natural, as opposed to what you just mentioned before, synthetic. And we live in a synthetic world on so many levels, particularly in Western culture. I find you very interesting because I know you happen to be a registered nurse, right?
That's right. I came into naturopathy, or natural medicine as it's leading to now, a bit by accident, I guess. I started off many years ago riding my motorbike along one day, and I actually got hit by a car. And no one knowing what to do, when I eventually got out of that mess, I said, I'll learn first aid. Uh-huh. From there, the examiners were people who were from the local ambulance station, and they said anyone wanting some experience, come up to the station and be a volunteer. So I went and did that for a couple of years. Uh-huh. And during that period of time, I became unemployed. And so wanting something to do, the ambulance service were looking at having registered nurses join the ambulance service as clinical instructors for their paramedical programs. So I go off and do my nursing. And so I went off to do my nursing at the Launceston General Hospital in Tasmania. And this is in the days of hospital-based training. Mm-hmm. And my intention was to go back to the ambulance. But my first ward out of my preliminary training block was the dementia unit in the psychogeriatric area.
Yes.
And I had an absolute ball looking at those people and listening to their stories, because in dementia you may not have much current memory, but you've got a lot of long-term memory from way back.
Yes.
And so I listened to these people, and they were telling me about how things were when they were young, their food, their lifestyles, and so on. Mm-hmm. And when I finished my general nursing training, I was a bit disenchanted with the hospital-based process of, if in doubt, cut it out. Drugs first line treatment, very little attention to diet and nutrition, no real regard for people whose lifestyles contributed to their disorders. Mm-hmm. So people who'd be obese and have a heart attack, there was not much reference about weight management or dietary change. Mm-hmm. And I didn't want to continue working in a hospital environment under a medical model. And so I went off to work in industry, and I took up a position with a forestry and timber company mm-hmm. as the health and safety officer. And my role there was to keep people healthy and at work and use preventive measures to avoid workplace absences, workplace injuries, and so on. And through changing the menus in the cafeterias and encouraging people to wear their personal protection and things like that, I started looking at things in a proactive way and looking at the causes of injury, the causes of workplace absence when people were sick, and setting up pathways for that. Until I was looking at a range of things from a nurse-educated person, but with an inquiring mind. So I then took on the study of naturopathy, and I completed that study in 1986. And then I moved through a range of experiences as a naturopath until I eventually went to Hong Kong, where I studied in Oriental medicine over there, and then came back to Australia to run my current practice. One of the things that I also became aware of while I was doing my nursing training in this dementia unit was how people would be admitted with so-called psychiatric or other disorders when really what they had is nutritional deficiencies. And once people were properly nourished and fed the way they needed to be, their whole health and well-being and their mental sort of functions improved. Mm-hmm. So what I learned then was that it's not a matter of putting people onto heavy medication or trying to just write people off because they're not quite as other people would like them to be, but that there's usually some nutritional causes behind a lot of the problems that we have these days. Right. And working on that basis, within the study of naturopathy, the study, one of the sub-majors, if you like, is dietetics and nutrition. And so we look at all those aspects of health-related disorder and nutritional adjustment, because all foods contain essential ingredients for the body's behaviours in certain ways.
Yes.
And so by knowing what we need to use, you know, what food we need to use and what food we don't want to use, we can adjust the person's health outcomes.
Yes, yes. And that's the difference, isn't it? Because you won't go to it would be rare to go to a doctor or to go to a chemist and for them to give you a prescription and send you off to the fruit and veg shop.
Yeah, now I know that I'm a little different to some of the other naturopaths who I know, and I have great respect for what they're doing within their field of endeavours. But the trend in some naturopathic clinics to just use herbal supplements or mineral supplements and another bottle of pills. Mm-hmm. I believe that part of every good prescription has to include a nutritional change. And so one of the first things I ask as I go through my inquiry with a person is for them to explain to me their daily food and fluid intake. Uh-huh. And we can sometimes see in those things where they could be high on one end and not high enough on another part. And then I look at their medications and their supplements, because medications actually interfere with certain nutrient absorptions. Mm-hmm. And so we need to take that into account. And I see so many people who come in on multiple medications which have got nutrient impact. And I'm fortunate, because in my career and learning, I've made a practice of gathering little programs along the way.
Yes.
And I have one program which actually allows me to look up a particular medication, and it will tell me what foods, what nutrients, what minerals it blocks, or which block it the other way. And sometimes it's necessary to say to that person, you go back to your GP and have a change of medication, mm-hmm. or you're going to have to take this additional food intake or supplementary foods to help to overcome the deficiencies that are creating your health disturbances.
Mm.
And to the point sometimes we actually manage to have people take it completely off their medication when we get their diet right. Bear in mind that diet is what you eat and nutrition is what you need.
Diet is what you eat and nutrition is what you need.
That's a very, very fundamental thing.
It is. I'm glad.
It's understood by most and it's so simple.
It is. And I'm glad you put it to the audience that way, because isn't it, it's not unusual today for people who may be lacking in certain areas of their diet. They find themselves experiencing health problems. They go to the doctor. The doctor prescribes them some medication. They get it from the chemist, and then that medication compounds the problem in a different way. They return to the doctor says, well, you also need this. And it's not unusual for them for that to happen maybe two or three times, and they've got a number of different medications on their bedside table or side table in their lounge room or whatever it may be, that they have to work their way through every single day. And it doesn't have to be that hard. But we often we think, you know, I'm not feeling right. The only option that goes through the mind of most people is go to the doctor, and whatever the doctor says, that I will do. They don't often realize that there's another option, and that that option may be a more natural one and a more holistic one. Is that fair?
That's very fair. And the thing to bear in mind with medication, and I still believe even now, there is a place for some medication sometimes. I've got no problem with that.
Mm-hmm.
If I get a raging infection, I would take an antibiotic.
Sure.
But I can prevent the raging infection if I take antiseptic supplements.
Right.
Ahead of time. So part of my daily regime is I take my garlic capsule every morning, because garlic is a beautiful antiseptic herb.
Mm-hmm.
It has got great antibacterial, antiviral, antiparasitic and antifungal properties. It's high in magnesium, so it relaxes your blood pressure. It's high in sulfur, so it's good for liver cleaning. And so there's one food that can do so many things. And as a preventive, in my role, I see people who are coughing and spluttering all sorts of bugs. By my daily prophylactic garlic,
yes,
I don't contract that degree
Now, let me ask you a little bit about that. Now, you use the example of garlic. Now, you're taking it in a powder form or in a tablet form?
It's a gel capsule.
It's a gel capsule.
It's 1,000 milligrams.
Yeah. And now, let me ask you then, Stephen, why would you have a gel capsule of 1,000 milligrams of garlic instead of having just half a garlic clove, for example?
Because if I only have half a garlic clove and we put that in our cooking at night, I'm not going to get enough of the active ingredients, of allicin.
Uh-huh.
And so by having the concentrated capsules,
uh-huh,
that will give me the therapeutic level I need.
Yes.
You see, if you take lettuce, a very, very interesting little food,
mm-hmm,
it contains the natural aspirin, if you like. A lot of people eat salads in summer and they feel their arthritic symptoms eased, because the white juice that comes from the heart of the lettuce contains anti-inflammatory property.
Really?
However, you couldn't eat enough lettuce in a day,
uh-huh,
to treat a severe inflammatory process. So then you would use a concentrate.
A concentrate, right.
Or an extraction
an extraction from the lettuce, but it's in a concentrate form.
And it still contains the cofactors.
Right. Now, I suppose the other benefit, just coming back to garlic, of course, if you were to eat the amount of garlic that you would have in your 100 milligram capsule, you wouldn't have any customers, right?
That's exactly right. So there's some pluses there.
Right.
So it's also convenient delivery. If I'm going away on holiday, I can take it with me.
Sure.
If I'm needing more, if I feel some symptom coming on, I can take extra.
Mm-hmm.
And so it goes on. And the thing is that there's very few negative outcomes from that. Now, with all medication, bear in mind that medications are regulated under the Poisons Act. So medicines are poisons in their own right. They're regulated and legally called that. And there is no such thing as a side effect of a medication. People take a medication for a condition, and it may also do other things to you. They're also the effect of the medication, unwanted effects may be. So if you take a blood pressure medication, it will drop your blood pressure nicely.
Mm-hmm.
But it can also sometimes interfere with your mineral uptake. It may disturb your potassium levels. It could cause dizziness. It can cause rashes. These are also part of the effect of that medication. So why would you take another medication to counteract one of the unwanted effects? And sometimes you need to go back to the GP who prescribed it and say, look, I'm having this problem. Is there something else?
Mm.
And look at the things that you can do to help yourself.
So diet and exercise and lifestyle. So you mentioned obviously garlic, you mentioned lettuce. What are some of the very, very, with the most people that come into your shop, what are some of the real fundamentals that just seem to be missing?
I think they lack an awareness of the therapeutic benefit of food. You see, food comes in three levels.
Mm-hmm.
First thing about food is it's to survive with. We eat just as a food dose. You know, we have a meal.
Mm-hmm.
We may have a piece of meat. We may have some vegetables. We may have some fruit. And that's a meal. So that is just a sustenance level. Then we've got the therapeutic level, where we can eat more of a particular thing because it's going to be good for our health outcomes.
Mm-hmm.
So we may choose to have carrot and celery juices to improve our fluid output or to improve our digestion or whatever.
Sure.
So we can do things therapeutically. But then you can get things where you get a toxic effect. So food can be toxic. So you eat too much of something, it can make you sick.
Mm-hmm.
And we see people who have very narrow diets, you know, the sausage, potato and two veggies of an evening,
mm-hmm.
and that's all they have every day. You know, they don't vary their diet sufficiently to get the broad range of things in.
Yes.
To me, every meal and every plate should have a mix of all the colours, so that you've got your yellow vegetables, your red vegetables, your green vegetables. And the ideal situation is to minimise all the white ones, okay?
Really? Now, can I just ask you about that? I mean, what you're saying is to have a colourful plate, have the red tomato and the green lettuce, and because so many of Western culture meals are brown these days. It's just different shades of brown, right?
That's right. That's
and
exactly
so
right.
What we want is a good way to look at it is, but you've mentioned not too much of the white. Can you elaborate on that?
Well, there's a lot of indigestible cellulose and starch and high carbohydrate value in those things.
Right.
And that will then have its own impact. And a lot of those white foods are basically filler foods from my perspective.
So we're talking about maybe pasta, potato, rice. Is that fair?
Some of those things. There's nothing wrong with little bits occasionally.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? All things in moderation. But when the staple of your diet is a plate full of potatoes, you're missing the point of what eating is about. And, you know, we have sweet potatoes at home
mm-hmm.
because they've got higher levels of carotenoids. They've got far better nutrient than white potatoes.
Sure.
Milk is a classic example of something that I discourage immensely because the bulk of the dairy industry use a cow, the Friesian Holstein cow,
mm-hmm.
that has got the histidine molecule in the milk, which
right.
releases histamine, for which a lot of people need antihistamines. Women, children, women, sheep and goats produce a thing called A2 milk, which has got proline in it.
Yes.
And we see so many things where babies are beautiful while they're on the breast, they're weaned onto a bottle and they get sick.
Yep.
Then the doc says, put them on goat's milk, they're fine, because you're taking out that histidine, that inflammatory molecule.
Well, you're my best friend at the moment, because that's one of my big... we've spoken about that a number of times in the program, and of course here we drink raw goat's milk, and we've got a couple. We're lucky enough to be able to have a couple of milking goats, so maybe we can elaborate on that sometime as well.
Sure. And the thing to bear in mind is that yogurt and cheese are not classed as milk because they're in a cultured process which alters the impact of the histidine.
Mm.
You know, it basically denatures the milk into a form that's more acceptable to us. We're adding cultures, the
sure.
acidophilus and things to make it beneficial. So that's another part of how it all comes together. But knowing your food, and people come into the clinic and into the shop and they say, I eat the best diet. I go and I get the organic foods or whatever. My question to every one of those is, you can be eating the best food, but is it the right food for you? Because all food contains a thing called a lectin. And a lectin is a proteinous molecule which is recognized in your body as a friend or a foe. Now, when you have your blood tested and they do a blood group, A, B, or O, they actually use things called hemoagglutinins, which is the medical name for a lectin.
Mm-hmm.
And they put a little bit of this vegetable-based lectin with the blood and see which one clots up. And that's where you react in your body. If you eat the wrong foods, your blood turns to sludge and clots up. And so rather than looking at people and saying, okay, eating the best food, I'd also look at their blood diet, okay? So I'm an A-group person, and that means that I've got a low level of stomach acidity. My body doesn't have the enzyme to digest milk from the time I'm a year of age. So why would I drink milk? I don't.
Right.
As far as meat is concerned, because I've got a low level of stomach acid, my body doesn't cope with dense animal proteins. So I can handle chicken and fish, the occasional small slices of red meat.
Uh-huh.
Whereas an O-group person has got a much higher level of stomach acidity and can digest red meats better, okay? Whereas people who just eat for the sake of eating, they may well be not giving their body the food it needs to do the things it needs to do. And if your body doesn't digest and process your meats and your foods properly, then they sit in your gut rancid. Then you end up with intestinal problems.
Issues, yeah.
Dysbiosis, which is an imbalance of bacteria and fungal overgrowth, inflammatory proteins, leaky bowel syndrome, or which is known as intestinal permeability. These are all things that are fully resolvable by correct nutrition.
So, but now, I've never heard this before. You're really making me think. Examining the blood type, what you're saying, if I understand it correctly, is that there's certain characteristics associated with each blood type. And I suppose there's a number of other things that you need to take into consideration to determine whether or not it, as you say, whether or not it is the right food for you, and not just a healthy diet as far as you're concerned, but is it the right food for you? And that, I've now I'm thinking about it, I'm thinking I can't even remember what blood type I am. And I'm looking at your website, which for the listeners is centralwestnaturopathic.vpweb.com.au. I will put a link on this post so that people can visit there, because there's a lot of information that's certainly worth – there's articles that you can read there and so on and so forth by Stephen. But one of the things that I'm looking at the moment, Stephen, is live blood screening. What, can you tell us a little bit about
that? Live blood screening is a fascinating subject. It's a process that's been around for many, many years and was more perfected by people like Professor Enderlin back in the 1916, and a few others of his era developed a look at blood in various ways. In standard forms, you go to the doc, go to the pathology, they get the blood taken. The blood is taken, it's sent off to a laboratory, and then it is basically smeared onto a slide, mm-hmm. and a machine reads that slide. No one's actually looked at your blood. And the number of people who go to the GP takes the blood, asks for the tests. They come back a few days later saying there's nothing wrong with you. Happens all the time. Because things that we see in blood are decay factors. When I take someone's blood here, I'll take a pinprick of blood, take one little small drop of blood, put that onto a slide, mount it under my microscope, and have a look at it within seconds of it being taken from the body. So I'm seeing blood which is fresh, mm-hmm. not old. And when I leave a slide on the microscope, sometimes I've gone home and I've left a slide on there overnight deliberately to look at it the following morning, and I can see major changes in the way the blood presents. Now, if it was a laboratory seeing that tomorrow, they would see old blood effect. With live blood, you're actually able to determine the health of the blood itself. And the blood being its own, the only true connective tissue in the body, because it goes to all parts of the body,
yes.
carries the impact of wherever it's been. And so we see so many things in the blood that allow us to interpret, one, nutritional deficiencies, two, health states, three, wellness opportunities. And by looking at the person's live blood, they are sitting beside me. They're seeing it on a screen right next to my microscope. They can see what I see as I see it. So they can ask questions. They can be involved right from the moment in what do they have to do to get a good health outcome.
Right.
And blood cells only live in your body. The red blood cells only stay alive in your body for 4 months. After 120 days, they're shattered, they're destroyed. The hemoglobin component is sent off to the bone marrow, where it's turned into new blood cells through a bit of a process.
Uh-huh.
And then 4 months, that cell will be destroyed again. And so it goes on. We're continually recycling blood.
Right.
And if you get a person who's trying to recycle their blood, as we are,
mm-hmm.
but we don't provide the right nutrients, blood cells can be too big or too small or irregular shaped. And ultimately, things go wrong. Now, one of the things I see quite a lot of is where people, for example, are on their anti-cholesterol medications. And we know that the body needs cholesterol, and we know that so much of the red blood cell membrane is made of cholesterol.
Mm-hmm.
When people are put onto medications to prevent them absorbing cholesterol, how are they meant to have healthy red blood cells? So they start getting fatigue, they start getting muscle aches, because the red blood cells aren't able to transport oxygen. And so they get all these muscle problems, giddiness, dizziness, and so on. And so we look at that and say, okay, we know that if you're on certain medication, you're going to have nutritional impact. We can then look at the live blood and see the quality of the cell membranes, the quality and shape and size of the blood cells.
Mm-hmm.
And we know which way to direct their nutrition. And sometimes the cholesterol level has got far too low and the body starts attacking its red blood cells and it destroys those cells. And people have hemolysis and hemolytic anemias develop.
Wow.
So people are chronically unwell.
Yeah.
And this is seen in live blood analysis. And I studied live blood analysis as a lot of other naturopaths have done. But I've become so engrossed, and I'm actually doing my PhD in live blood analysis at the moment.
Oh, truly? Okay.
So that's to me my specialty area of extreme interest, because not only do I do the live blood analysis, but we'll relate that to urine outputs, we'll mm-hmm. relate that to bowel outputs, we'll relate that to your body's acidity, so that what, as a naturopath, I do, I don't take any one form of diagnostic tool in isolation from another. So I will look at a person physically, their fingernails, their tongue, their irises, and then I'll look at blood, I'll look at urine, we'll look at a lot of other physical parameters before I'll even make a decision about which way we need to go.
And so you develop a profile of the patient from a broad spectrum before you decide what might be the best approach for them. Is that, that's what you're
right.
saying? Okay.
An initial consultation with me takes about an hour just for me to get to know what may or may not be the issues. And I've had people who've come in and they've already self-diagnosed with Dr. Google. Okay? And there's three authoritative journals in this world. Yeah. Women's Weekly, okay, Reader's Digest, and the local paper where they have their health articles.
Yep.
And what we see is people read something and they take it in isolation, but they believe that I've got this, I'm certain I have. And I've had people who come in telling me they've already worked out what's wrong with them. Is it something I can give them? And often they're a mile off when you look at what's going on as causative. Because all these articles are relating to symptoms.
Yeah, and it's very, very easy to get carried away with your own selected attention that leads you down the garden path, whereas what you're saying is obviously you've got, what, 20, more than 25 years' experience, and that certainly counts for a lot, right?
Well, I like to think that I've learned as I've gone along.
Sure, and surely.
Since I first started studies in health, I haven't stopped studying. I've done a course within my career every year. I've done continuing education. I've done self-development programs. I've attended seminars. I've read the journals. I subscribe to newsletters and so on. Not just from a naturopathic perspective, but from a general health perspective. And what I work on the basis is that more than being a naturopath, I like to see myself as a health management practitioner.
Sure.
Because what I believe is that with good information, people can make good decisions.
Yes.
With poor information, people make poor decisions. With no information, you should make no decisions until you've got more information. And I believe that every interaction I have with a client has to be educational. What's the old phrase? You give a man a fish, you feed him for a day, you teach him to fish, you feed him for life.
That's right. That's
right. So I believe that if I can show people with live blood, with their urine outputs or whatever it might be, that by making these changes, there will be enhancement of their well-being. They can go on and do that for years after I've gone.
Absolutely, because it's not as if their personal, it's not as if, for example, their blood type is going to change, right? I mean, a lot of these things are with them forever, and they're going to be better informed as to how their diet should be and what they should eat and what is best for their particular health. I think at this stage it might be best, would it be okay if we turn this over to the listeners and allow them to give us some feedback in the comments section, any questions that they may have in regards to their health that they would like some answers from a naturopathic perspective. Would you be happy to have a look at some of those?
Sure, I would.
Well, then what we might do, I'm going to let the listeners know just once again, and I'm going to put this link on the website on this post, centralwestnaturopathic.vpweb.com.au. There will be a link on the post. And there are a whole lot of health articles, and there's a newsletter there that the people can read. Vital information, very, very interesting when it comes to natural medicine. So if you have any questions for Stephen Tamplin, please put them in the comments section. And over the coming weeks, we will have a look at those, and hopefully we'll be able to, he'll be able to answer those in the coming weeks, and we look forward to that. And as you say, good information leads to better consideration, leads to long-term better health.
I believe that if we accept responsibility for our own care more, we will do better. You can't expect someone else to care about you as much as you should. And when you've reached the point of needing to get some form of health improvements or some health adjustments, it's also important to ask, why have I got the way I am? Because what have I got to change? Because without change, there'll be no change. You eat badly, drink heavily, smoke a lot, you're not going to be able to get better on a pill. Remember, there's a fundamental other truth, that medicines cannot be used as nutrients. Only nutrients can.
Yes.
And so if you want to get better, you have to take a nutritional approach to where you're at.
Brilliant. Well, that's a good place to leave it. Again, Stephen Templin, thank you, my friend. Thank you for your time. Thank you for coming on to Truth to You. Really appreciate your time and expertise. I look forward to hearing from the listeners in the comments section. And I look forward to you and I getting together then and having a look at some of the comments and what people have said and some of the questions that they've had.
I appreciate that too.
Good on you, mate.
Thanks for your time.
Speak again soon.
Bye-bye.